Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at a very familiar verse this morning as we continue in the series on the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. And Brother Rule started to point out last week that this is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I think it's also worth pointing out that the Bible does not say in Galatians, that they are the fruits of the Spirit. It is that it is the fruit of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, when He's at work in our life, produces all of these collectively. And when we do not have one of them intact, it is evidence that the Holy Spirit needs to do more work in our heart in that one area. And so when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, He produces, as we heard last week, love. And then we're going to move right to the second one. He also produces joy. And so we're going to talk this morning about the fruit of the Spirit being joy. And I introduced this subject this morning. I think I want to start by simply saying that happiness and joy are not the same thing. Although they have a very similar product, they actually have different reasons and different durations for being there. Let me help you understand it in your mind. When you think of the word happiness, think of it, it has another word that is very similar, happening. The same root word as happenings. And so that helps you understand. Happiness is an experience that I get based upon my happenings. Like, I'm very happy this morning because the Royals are up 3-1 in the World Series. Now, Pastor's preaching about that this morning, kind of how sports get in the world. I was come to church tonight. I'm just kidding. And the World Series game 5 is night, and I'm a Kansas City Royals fan, and certainly I'm happy about the way they're going. They're up 3-1, and there are many other we can experience excitement and satisfaction. What is going on here? There we go. Okay.
Good night, brother.
These guys are trying to get me to quit speaking. They said they were going to get me up here early. They didn't do that. That didn't happen. And they're trying to get me out of here early, and that's not going to happen either. So now they're trying to turn my microphone off. I appreciate that. I see what you guys are doing. That's a blessing. Don't worry. But we all have excitement, temporary happiness that are based on happenings, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being happy when something good happens, having a child, having a promotion at work, having, the Royals win the World Series, or having your favorite team win a football game, or whatever. That's all fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but I want you to know that's not what we're talking about this morning. We tend to equate happiness with joy, but they are two different ideas because, listen, they spring from two different sources. One comes from the world around me. The other comes from the God within me. One originates from circumstances. The other comes directly from the living God Himself. Happiness is conditioned by and often dependent upon what is happening to me. If people treat me good, if things are going well, then I am happy. If that changes, I am unhappy. Joy, on the other hand, is a settled assurance. It is a fixed ideal. It is a never-changing circumstance in my life because I understand that God is in control in all of the details of my life, and I therefore have a quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And I have made a determined choice ahead of time to rejoice in every circumstance because God is a sufficient source of joy, not just a temporary fix for happiness. Joy is what happens to those people who trace all of their blessings back to God. It is what happens when we rejoice primarily in our union with Him and we see God as the source of joy, not just giving us joy based upon gifts that He confers upon us. And it's so important that we understand and distinguish the two. So to rejoice in the Lord is to exalt in Him. It is to have true happiness based upon my relationship with God, not necessarily my circumstances around me. And I don't know that there is a more fitting verse to tie into the fruit of the Spirit that is joy other than Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. So if you look there with me, we're going to read this verse where the Bible says here, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I don't know if there is a more well-known verse on joy and a more descriptive verse on joy in all the Bible than this one right here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take this verse apart and we're going to look at three elements of biblical joy this morning, okay? Number one, I want you to see here the direction of our joy. What do we actually joy in? And notice in our text, rejoice in the Lord. That's the direction of our joy. And we rejoice in the God of our salvation, or the fact that our God is a saving God and that our God is a sovereign God. And so that's what primarily our joy is in. It's in the Lord Himself. Listen to this. When I say that our joy is in a saving God, there is much to rejoice over if you and I have been saved. Amen? Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And I'd have to say that there might be a lot of things that change in life that could determine whether you're happy or not. But one thing, thank God, that never changes, that should always be a source of joy, is that I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And if that is true, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I now have a relationship with the God of the universe that I never had before. And now I have a guidebook as the Bible and the Holy Spirit in my heart. And there is a lot to rejoice over just through our salvation. But also there's joy that comes in God Himself. Psalm 16:11 says this, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." That there is joy that comes actually from the very presence of God. Psalm 43 and verse 4 says this, "Then will I go to the altar of my God, unto God my exceeding joy." Luke chapter 2 verse 10 speaks of Jesus coming, and it says this, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." John 15 verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." I love 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, where it says this, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Another great one from the Old Testament, Isaiah 61 and verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." I could go on, and literally there are scores of verses in the Bible that connect our joy with our God. And here's the great thing. As long as there's a God in heaven, you have the opportunity to have joy in your heart. And as long as you have salvation, you have joy in your heart. And the great thing about that is those things never change. Which leads me to the second part of the lesson. Not only do we see the direction of our joy is the Lord, we see the duration of our joy is always. And here's the great thing about joy, folks. The great thing about our joy is that our joy can be there as long as our God is there. I think of another verse in relationship to another aspect of God. I believe it's Isaiah 26 and verse 4, where it says this, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Now, there's a connection there. Do you see the connection? You can have strength for the journey as long as your trust is in God. And as long as you have trust and as long as you have faith, God has sufficient strength for your journey. In other words, if anybody ever runs out of joy, strength, it's not going to be God, because God has everlasting strength. And so as long as I'm putting my faith and trust in Him, then I can have that strength as well. And here's the great thing that I'm talking about this morning. Our ability to have consistent joy, consistent love, consistent peace, consistent long-suffering, or whatever other fruit of the Spirit we're going to talk about over these 9 weeks, it's not that I'm good enough to produce it. It's this, that my God has sufficient joy and sufficient strength that never runs out, that never dries up, that never stops, that never ceases. And as long as my focus is upon Him, and as long as I'm keeping in a good relationship with Him, then I can enjoy joy that never stops. You ever been around somebody that's gone through horrific or tragic or challenging circumstances, and yet their relationship with the Lord stayed intact? Their joy and their relationship with the Lord stayed intact. I think of my wife's parents, and I remember them telling me when their fourth child died, a stillborn. Angie's would have been her fourth brother named Jason. And I just remember them telling the story years later about how within just a few hours of that the pastoral team was visiting them, and they were even singing songs in the recovery room, and how that although they had just lost a child, there was still the ability to get up the next day and still go to church and still sing hymns and still be faithful to God, and that never stopped. Why? Listen, as joyful as children are, their joy was not in their children. And then when my father-in-law went to heaven 2 years ago, it was his children, the four of them, and their spouses, and his wife that were standing around his deathbed doing what? Singing songs, singing praises. How do you do that? How do you walk through the valley of shadow of death? How do you walk through tragic circumstances? How do you do that? The answer is this, that our hope is anchored in our unchanging God, not our ever-changing circumstances. And when that is true, then we can have joy. John MacArthur said this, the Lord is the only sure, reliable, unwavering, unchanging source of joy. Listen, your spiritual stability is directly related to what you know about and what you think about God. A.W. Tozer, in his famous book, The Knowledge of the Holy, said this, what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Knowledge of God is the key to rejoicing. Those who know the great truths about God found in the Word of God find it easy to rejoice. Those with little knowledge about God find it difficult to rejoice. Isn't that true? Hey, when you know God, when you know how He works, when you know the outcome, when you know, like Romans 8 says, that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall follow, and you know that all things work together for good, and you know that God is a shelter in the time of the storm, and you know that God is strength for the weary, and God is joy for the broken of heart, and you know what God is, and you know how God works, there's the secret of having joy. And it comes, letter A, because we have an unchanging God. And it comes, letter B, through ever-changing circumstances. So it comes because of our unchanging God, and it comes through our changing circumstances. Your circumstances in life will always change, but your God will never. And that's how you can have joy, by having your faith in a God that never changes. Several years ago, a 92-year-old Christian woman was legally blind, and in spite of her limitations, she was always at church, neatly dressed, hair carefully brushed, and makeup tastefully applied. After her husband of 70 years died, it became necessary for her to go to a nursing home where she would receive proper care. On the day of her move, a helpful neighbor drove her to the nursing home and guided her to the lobby. Her room was not ready, so she patiently waited in the lobby for several hours. Well, finally, a nurse came. The nurse smiled and walked over to her and described her room, including the new curtains that had to be hung in the windows. The 92-year-old woman says, "I love it." The nurse said, "But Mrs. Jones, you haven't even seen it yet." The attendant replied, "That doesn't have anything to do with it. Happiness is something you choose. Whether I like my room or not does not depend upon how it is arranged. It depends upon how my mind is arranged." And it's a good thing to be able to, and I'm not talking about
that sorrow is not present when you go through a difficult time. What I'm saying is that joy is sustaining and joy is continued, and weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so he's saying here, you can have joy through all of your circumstances. So rejoice in the Lord. That is our direction always. That is the duration. But in the book of Philippians, we see finally that there are distractions from our joy. And I believe that Paul mentions four things that can take our joy away, and four things that we need to be careful of in our lives that we should not let get in the way of us maintaining our joy in our families and our personal lives. So let me give you four problems that could come in between you and joy. You ready? Number one, perspective problems. Perspective problems. And I'm going to actually give you four instead of three. I wrote a new one in last night, so I think you got letter A, B, C, and D, but I added number four just for Brother Sean. That's what I did, okay? So there's four things in the book of Philippians. Number one, we can have perspective problems. Perspective problems. Now, if you've been a Bible student for very long, this is not going to be new news for you, but the book of Philippians is one of four books in the New Testament that we call prison epistles. Now, the reason they're called prison epistles is because of the location of the author when they were penned. In other words, Paul wrote four books. There's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon that were written from jail. The interesting thing that you couple with that is that the theme of the book of Philippians is joy. 17 times in these four chapters, some reference to joy is made. That's an average of over four times per chapter that Paul talks about how joyful he is and how the people should rejoice. And in fact, I don't have time for you to turn there, but if you were to turn to chapter number one, I believe that one of the main purposes of the book of Philippians was, number one, to write a thank you note to the church for the gift they had given, but number two, to update the people about his current circumstances. And when you get to verse number 12 and 13 of chapter number 1, after he introduces the letter and after he prays for the church, he starts right in and says this in verse 12, "But I would you understand, brethren, that the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." You say, what in the world is he talking about? Well, they had evidently written to him. They had expressed concern for him over the fact that he was locked up and in prison. And here's what Paul is saying. Hey, everything's okay. I'm doing fine. I'm in jail. It's all good. And here's the great news, guys. Although I'm in jail and although I'm going through a difficult time, I'm locked up, I'm malnutrition, I'm in a dark place. He said this, here's the awesome thing. Although I'm here and that's not a good thing, here's the great thing. That the gospel has been going further into the palace and in all other places. In other words, if I wouldn't have been here, the gospel would have never got here. That's a perspective check. Could we rejoice in the greater good of people being saved, of God's name being glorified, even if it meant a great risk to our personal circumstances? Paul was. You see, and here's the problem. If your number one goal in your life is comfort, and the number one reason why you're coming to Lancaster Baptist Church is so that you can feel better about yourself, or so that maybe you have some people to lean on, if the reason that you involved God in your life was your own personal comfort, and we believe the lie that God is just going to make everything always better, and there never will be a trial, and there never will be a difficulty, I'm telling you, we're in it for the wrong reason. The reason I love God is not because He takes the storm away from me, but it's because He prides